أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد أما بعد إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins, protects us from the insinuations of shaitan, increases in our sustenance, spiritual and materialistic, and allows us to be able to understand his religion that he brought from 124,000 prophets and was protected by 14 masumin alayhi salam. And also from those people who followed the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and gave their blood in this way so that the tree of Islam can be saved. The verse of the Quran that I recited says that certainly from the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only the ulama, the scholars are fearful of him. If a person is fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the condition or the requirement for that fear is that that person would be among the ulama. Meaning the ilm that a person has would bring out the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside of him. And in regards to the martyrdom of Shaykh Mutahhari rahmatullah alayh, words can be said, but I think the best tribute that we can give to him is to learn from his example and also put those things and become like Shaykh Mutahhari rahmatullah alayh. Because he is also a role model for us, every single person who is here, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be able to become or as close as possible as his. Shaykh Mutahhari rahmatullah has written quite a few books, and the brother gave a very beautiful and heartfelt talk. He is blessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the opportunity to be present in that time when Shaykh Mutahhari rahmatullah alayhi was alive, and that he could listen to him as you are listening to me. And it's a very big blessing, and unfortunately myself and maybe some of you here did not have this blessing. I would urge you to read the books of Shaykh Mutahhari. There are many books that are translated into English. Every one of us is able to, the way that he wrote, every one of us is able to read and understand and comprehend the books that he has written. He has given many different examples in his book, and one example I will talk about, and then maybe if we have some time, explain the particular verse that I've read for you. The society that we live in is full of issues, problems, the diseases of the soul that some of them we were describing for you yesterday. What are we to do? Right? We are living in this particular country. What are we to do? And Shaykh Mutahhari rahmatullah, he gave a very great example. He said that if there is a city that is full of diseases, the person would have two choices. The first choice is to get out of that city, go to a mountain, and just live there. So the diseases that are inside of that city, the person will not get infected. He said the second choice, which is the choice that is best and should be the only choice, is that the person can have a vaccination against those diseases, and the person can live inside of that city, would become immune to all of the diseases, and also be able to help the other individuals who are there. And if you look at from that example, in the countries that we live in, instead of trying to run away from them and go somewhere in a mountain and leave everything behind, the best thing to do would be to get that vaccination, to live in this country, to live in these cities, and help others as well, not go through the difficulties where you have to go to a mountain and go through. And that vaccination is actually the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one can acquire this vaccination, you will become immune to the diseases that we have in this society. Shaykh Watari Ramtullah, there is a small event that happened in his life before his martyrdom. I'll narrate that, and then inshallah. He saw in his dream that he was near Khana Kaaba, and the Prophet came over. Prophet was there too, and he asked Shaykh Mutari to come close. And Shaykh Mutari and the Holy Prophet, Azza Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were so close that the Prophet kissed him on his face. And when he woke up, he said to his wife that now my time has come. And I've tried to ponder on this statement that he made. He must have said to himself that there cannot be any higher level that I can get to in this world where the Prophet is coming and is kissing my face, that he said that I'm going to be going now. And very shortly after that, Shaykh Mutari was martyred. And in reality, if you consider that an alim's definition that is given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside of his heart, Shaykh Mutari rahmatullahi alayhi was an alim, was an ustad by the definition given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ustad can be anybody. People can make ustad, teachers, professors, this and that. But if they do not fit the definition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're really not an alim. So in order for us to be able to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should acquire knowledge. And that knowledge that we are going to acquire, it could be the different sciences that you have. Chemistry, physics, all of these different sciences that are there, they are knowledge of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have in Canada, we have a channel called Oasis. It's a totally nature channel. Doesn't have any commercials, it doesn't have anything, no music, nothing. And that particular channel, I love to watch. When I watch that channel, I feel inside of my heart, by looking at the greatness and the power of Asant, by looking at the greatness and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I feel close to Him. A way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this universe, the more you go into the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to understand, the more closer you will get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the thing is, if you're only learning sciences so that you can get a $70,000, $80,000, $150,000 job, that chemistry, that physics, that math is not going to get you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you're acquiring that knowledge to understand His creation, by understanding His creation, you're able to understand the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which gets you closer to Him, then that particular science that you are studying will get you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also mentioned that if you get knowledge and you are not a human being, if you acquire knowledge and you're not a human being, the example he gives is like a drunk person having a sword in his hand. This drunk person who has a sword in his hand, when these people become drunk, you might have seen them, they become worse than kids. Because this person will hurt himself and also anyone, whether that person has done any wrong or hasn't done any wrong, would cut them. The person who made the atomic, you know, went through the research and made the atomic bomb or atomic energy, he never really realized that this information that he's giving to humanity would actually end up becoming an atomic bomb where billions and millions of people's lives would be gone, innocent lives would be gone, and for generations, their generations would be affected. If that particular technology was to be given to a human being, just because our body looks like a human being, it doesn't mean that we are a human being. Yesterday, مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ, we explained to you that if a person has anger, that person's shape of their soul is actually not of a human being, it's of a dog. If they have greed, they have the shape of an ant. If they have, if they steal, the shape of theirs is, does anyone remember? Of a mouse. So when you look at this society, all of the wrongs that are there, you will see a body of a human being walking around, but if you were to see, if your Chishme Barzakhi was open, which Ayatollah Bahjat Rahmatullah Alayhi, he had, and if he would look at you, and if he just looked at you, that meant that you are okay. If he didn't look at you, then you would know that what he sees as the shape of your soul is probably mutated by many different animals. If your Chishme Barzakhi was open and you were to look around, and I will not, let's say if it was open, I would tell you not to look inside here. Just look outside. If you look outside, you will not see human beings walking around. You will see animals walking around. It happened at the time of Imam as well, Abu Basir, one of the followers and companions of Imam. You know, he was blind and he says that, I can hear so many people, it was at the time of Hajj, I can see so many people, mashallah, who have come for Hajj this year. And Imam said, really, so many people? Imam made a gesture of his hand, and then Abu Basir, who was blind, when he looked through the gesture of Imam's hand, what he saw around Khana Kaaba were animals doing tawaf of Khana Kaaba. And among those animals, there was very few human beings who were also doing tawaf of Khana Kaaba. So if it is the case of those people who have the best of all religions, but the best religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought, if that is the condition of those people, and also those people who had the opportunity to go for Hajj, meaning they have something to do with religion, are the ones at the time of Hajj doing tawaf, and Abu Basir through the Chishme Barzakhi that Imam opened for him saw animals, then what would be the condition of these people who have no religion or a religion which is based on polytheism? And when people like that have atomic energy, what do they make out of that? Atomic bomb. And then making atomic bombs, what do? They destroy millions of people, and also they keep the whole world in check, because we have hundreds of those atomic bombs ready for you. Either you are with us or you are against us. So in reality, this technology that they have and all the sciences that they have here, if it was in the hands of human beings, with the qualities of generosity, and for example, one of the shaheed's qualities to have pain for religion, and someone who has pain for religion, someone who feels for religion also feels for the human beings as well. If that type of people have all of these sciences, humanity would be served. Recently, in the heart field in Iran, they made a very good discovery, which is in the whole world, one country, and they're the second one. And once they will be able to make more of that, what they've found, they will be able to help so many people who are diseased with heart disease. So knowledge in itself, if it's in the hands of a human being, it is beneficial for humanity. If it's in the hands of an animal, that animal will destroy all of humanity. And this verse of Allah SWT, that it is certainly only the alim who can, among all of his slaves, really be fearful to Allah SWT. May Allah SWT allow us and gives us the ability to become one of those alims. May Allah SWT give us the opportunity for all of the knowledge that we have gained to be used in the service of human beings. May Allah SWT give us the ability and the power to be able to acquire the knowledge of Him and His creations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the true friends and followers of the 12th Imam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the revolution of Iran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the ulama, the maraji, May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give long life to Imam Khamenei. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity to continue the path of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Shaykh Mutahhari rahmatullah alayh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase his darajat in heaven. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to learn from his teachings and to apply them and to give to others. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal asr. Innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu as-salihat. وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر
اللهم صل على محمد
Brother and sisters, question answer time. We have a card. If you want to ask directly to Mona, you can ask or you can write it down.
Now that you are sitting down on the wings of angels, and that you walked on the wings of angels to come here, just be considerate when you're asking the question, that the question should be asked only to attain the truth, not to have the other person hear the answer, or to pinpoint the faults and the problems in your community. The question and answer session always becomes a source for people to put their opinions out. No, if you want to put your opinions out, it's the time of elections. If you have any concerns and so forth, at the time of election, you should speak out. And if you can change something, wonderful. If you cannot, if elections are over, people are appointed and everything else is done, then stay quiet and with the unity that you have among yourselves, carry on forward. He says that why Adala justice is in Asul-e-Din and not any other attributes in Asul-e-Din. Adalat in Asul-e-Din basically means the roots of religion. Fu-e-Din means what?
Branches
of religion. Can a branch be a root? Or can a root be a branch? No, right? Root is root, branch is branch. So the reason why a root will become a root is because, if you were to think about this example that I'll give you, and the other thing is, don't expect that because you wrote two lines that my answer will be two lines as well. It's like a key, you know, like this whole hall. I have seen the key actually. I had to keep it to give it to someone. It's the key is literally this big. But when you turn it and the doors open, you get this massive space. So your question might be two sentences, might be one sentence. But be careful that it might open up a much bigger discussion. So if you were to think about this, that there is a seed, the seed of Iman. Okay? Let's say, or if I was to go a little bit separate than Iman.
Excuse me. Let me just interrupt and let me just put the partition so ladies can also come.
Yes, of course.
Inshallah. For Muhammad Wale Muhammad.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu
Akbar.
La ilaha illallah. Anta subhanaka inni. Sallallahu alaihi wa
sallam. Sorry.
Answer. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Inni lam akhraj ash-shaytan. So if, let's say there is a seed, okay? The seed, let's call that seed hidayat. We'll call the seed hidayat, guidance. What is the first thing that comes out of the seed? Is it the root or is it the branch or the trunk? Root. So the first thing from that seed comes the root. After the roots are there, what happens? The branch starts. The roots are the first thing that comes out of Hidayat. And they're the ones who will keep this tree firm in the ground, and everything else that the tree requires will be taken from the earth. Usul-e-Deen are actually devised by ulama for us to be able to understand Islam properly. Like Usul-e-Deen, Furu-e-Deen, and Akhlaq, these are divided into three. Islam is divided into three categories. The reason is for us to understand Islam properly. It's just to understand, for example, like I said now, there's the roots, there is the trunk, and then there is the branches. So the reason why I'm giving you this example, and the reason why I'm saying roots, trunks, and branches, there's three separate things, is only for you to understand my point that I'm trying to make. Okay? But in reality, I could have also said that tree. When I say tree, in that tree, there is roots as well, there's trunk as well, there's branches as well. But I classified roots, trunk, and branches. Just like that, ulama classified Usul-e-Deen, Furu-e-Deen, and Akhlaq. Okay? And justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you know the meaning of justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that every single thing that it has the capacity, whatever the capacity of every single creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is just that He will provide the necessities or all of those things to that creation. Okay? It is not part of action, it is part of ideology. Some people will say that God is not just. MashaAllah, if they say that God is not just, are they talking about worship and actions or are they talking about ideology? They would say that I believe that God is not just. If He was just, why a 6-month-old baby have to pass away? Why tornadoes have to come? Why hurricanes have to come? Why poverty has to be there? Why this, why this, why that? They are telling you that their ideology or they believe that God is not just. We say that God is just. Why? Because whatever my capacity is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to provide whatever I require for my growth and for my sustenance. And in the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, all of these capacities are different and everything gets according to that capacity what is required and everything is intertwined. They're connected to each other. It is possible that there is an earthquake somewhere, but that earthquake brings a benefit to something else. And it was necessary for that earthquake to come for the benefit for the other thing to receive. So it is an ideology, it is nothing to do with the Furu-e-Deen are the obligations that we have because we have accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one. We've accepted the Holy Prophet as the Prophet. We've accepted what? Imamat, you with me now? Otherwise we have tea as well. The Imamat of Aimma alayhi salam. When we have accepted Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. On the Day of Judgment, we have accepted that. If we do not accept God being just, what's the point of me praying namaz? What would mean that if I don't pray namaz, if I don't fast, if I don't go for Hajj, He's not just on the Day of Judgment. If He wants to put me in the hellfire, He can put me in the hellfire. Right? And if I have not done any of that, and if He's not just, He can put me into where? Heaven. So there are groups of Muslims that started a discussion on destiny, and in that discussion started saying that it is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He wants, mazallah, mazallah, He can put Yazid into heaven. And mazallah, mazallah, if He wants, He can put, for example, Salman Farsi into hell. It's up to Him. If I have that kind of ideology, what's the point of me going fasting? So justice is actually part of Usul-e-Deen and not Furu-e-Deen. And why is other attributes not part of it? If you go into the bigger meaning of justice, as I gave you that general description, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy, Rahman. He is the beneficent. He will provide. He is merciful. He will. Mercy is when you know someone is not able to do something on their own, the feeling you get inside of your heart to help them is called mercy. Like if there's a person who cannot walk, right? and you feel that they cannot walk and they can't do it themselves, you go and try to help them to walk. That feeling you got inside of your heart is called mercy. Vajibul Vujud, who is independent in existence, sees that all the dependent in existence cannot do anything on their own. So what does he do? He helps everybody to be able to do what they cannot do themselves. That's the mercy. And if you go through all the different traits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not fit in, or they all fit in the justice, in the general description I gave you. And also those traits are not directly related to Furu'ud-Din. And in Tawheed, you have all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there anyways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Tawheed Zati, Tawheed Sifati, Tawheed Ibadi, Tawheed Af'ali, all of these are part of Tawheed. Anyways, Tawheed Af'ali means the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in action. Tawheed Ibadi means the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. Tawheed Zati means the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in essence. Thank you very much. And Tawheed Sifati means the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His attributes. Clear? Salawat bari Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Thank you very much. If salawat pana in kilebi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Can a person chat on Facebook? Facebook in itself chatting is separate. Well, first let's talk about Facebook. Facebook. Right? Facebook. Face, we need some face time. You might have heard this as an English term, meaning let's sit down together and, you know, shoot the breeze, like what's going on, what's this, what's up, this and that. Book, where you can write every single thing that you want. And then what? Then publish it for the rest of the world to see. And so that the rest of the world... For example, there is a, mashallah, a brother who has a beard and so forth, and you know, he makes a page on Facebook. And then what happens? Friends, and you start clicking on the friends, and you find this, mashallah, beard has friends that have, you know, girls who are not wearing hijab, nothing, and, you know, like, in totality of Facebook, I would say that you avoid it completely. Not just because you're a Muslim. I would say this to even Christians and Jews and Hindus and Sikh. Because the data in Facebook has been collecting by the marketing companies and everything that they want to do and they want to accomplish. They're using that data and coming up with products and advertisements. And they're manipulating the whole of the world by using Facebook. So, chatting, to when you don't have an account on Facebook, obviously you will not be chatting. It's funny how world changes. When I was in high school, it was 91, 92, about 18 years ago, that world had no Facebook, and I still survived. It didn't have any iPhones, I survived. It didn't have any MSN, I survived. It didn't have internet. Can you believe that? I survived. I'm still okay. I don't know why like Facebook and all these things become necessities of life. They're not necessities of life. Salawat bari Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Wastage of time, that's what it is. If religion first started with Islam being the only religion, how did it break apart into other religions like Christianity, Judaism and so forth? Right now, I'm talking to you and I'm giving you a speech. This speech is being recorded, and afterwards you can always see it and whatever the case happens to be. If there was no tape recorder, okay, and I just delivered this speech, and then it was your responsibility to go to someone who's outside, who's not here, to tell what I said in this room. Exactly how I said it. Every single word to word. How many of you can do this? Abhi to main We started talking maybe 20, 30 minutes ago. Can you even just tell me what I said about Facebook? We just talked about, the previous question was Facebook. Exactly, word by word. Can you? You can't. A prophet would come, he would give the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. The people will go, take this message to someone else. Would message stay the same? No. Things would be added or deleted. Then these people will tell someone else. And between, for example, the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, prophet of Islam, and it is quite an eye-opener for Christians to know that we believe in Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. We have like kids come from high school, grade 11, and I would ask them, who do you know as a prophet of Islam? And all of them would say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Fajr, will you be willing to stay till Fajr? They would always say, the Holy Prophet. But when I would tell them, you know, the first prophet of Islam is Adam. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, they would be surprised. And I would say the last prophet of Islam is the Holy Prophet. And in between we have Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we have Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, we have Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, we have Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. It was news to them. Now imagine these are Muslims. Just for argument's sake I'm saying, the ones who say they are Christians, they are progeny of Muslims that existed 20, 30, 3,500 years ago. Yes or no? The ones who were present at the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they were Muslims. They had kids, they had other kids, they had kids, they had kids, 3,500 years, all of this progeny. The kids of Muslims are calling themselves Christian. Maybe you say 3,500 years is a long time. Okay, over here. Two generations we have lost. Of our youths, we have lost. Two generations, they're gone. And some of them you will find, you say, what religion are you? They'll say, I'm a Christian. And they were born in a Muslim family. So in reality, one religion, but people changed it. And the reason why people changed it is because they were not attentive. For example, if you start writing every single word that I'm saying, if you start writing it, and you save that, and then you go and tell the other person that this is what he has said, would that be not closer to what I have said? So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He brought books. And he brought that one book that would be the summary of all the other books. Right? In Surah Allah, you have that what I have just said, meaning what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, it is good for you to be reminded and so forth and so forth and so forth. All of these teachings are mentioned in the books of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. In Quran, it's a summary of all the books. So he said, okay, I will leave with the Holy Prophet this one book that has a summary of all the other books. Now Quran is with us. Then why do we have 72 different sects of Islam? And Quran hasn't changed in the last 1400 years. Now this example that I'm giving you, that it is closest to exactly what the message is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, having this book, an exact message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have 72 or 73. I say that not just 72 or 73. I say that every single person is a sect. My Islam differs from your Islam. Your Islam differs from their Islam. Their Islam differs from their Islam. Why? Because my comprehension of Islam, my understanding of Islam, my ability to act on Islam, this is a question from him. So in reality, it was the people who did this. Salawat Pari Muhammad. Why can't we recite namaz in other languages that we understand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands even if you don't say anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands even if you don't say nothing, He still understands what you mean. He understands till the end of time. His knowledge is not by bounds, it's not bound by boundaries. But the reason why we have to say the salah in Arabic is the same as I just mentioned the question answer earlier. If salah was not said in Arabic, and the Arabic is directly from Quran, we would be praying different salah even now. Why? Alhamd. What is the meaning of Alhamd? Why does it say all praise? In actuality, Alhamd means the praise. But in translation it says all praise. But the reason why it says all praise is because the praise also includes the praise that you give to someone who has done something by their own accord, and praise that belongs to something that has not done of its own accord. There's two types of praise. I praise you because you have done. I praise Allah because He gave such a good speech. I praise you because you gave such a good speech. You did that on your own with the power of choice and the knowledge that you had. That is praise. But I also praise, for example, what a beautiful ring this is. What is this ring did on its own to acquire this praise? Nothing. Or the sadaf or pearl. If I say what a beautiful pearl, pearl didn't do anything on its own. But both of these praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because there is no other type of praise, then they say all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we were even to look at the meaning translated from one language to the other, about 30% of the meaning is lost. That's the Shuma Dar Nakune. May your hand not hurt. That's the Shuma Dar Nakune means thank you. But if you translate literally, it means may your hand not hurt. How difference it is between thank you and may your hand not hurt. Now, even though we are using the same words, and maybe nothing has lost in the exact words that we're taking, but two different meanings. Sare shuma dard na kune. When I first went there, when someone said to me, Sare shuma dard na kune, I'm like, no, I don't need Tylenol. I don't need any aspirin. Sare shuma dard na kune means, may your head not hurt. But it also means, thank you. Right? Now imagine you now start reading namaz in Santihala wa yahan hao shesheni wa yadaitse lao chungwa wa yahan gao shing. In Chinese, for example. This was Chinese. Thank you very much. It was very nice to meet you. I appreciate it. I'm sorry. This is my first visit to China and I'm very happy to be here. You imagine like people, you know, Katila, or I mean, so many different languages that are all over the world, and all the Muslims that live all over the world, they come to Khana Kaaba for Hajj. They come to Khana Kaaba for Hajj. What's going on now? The Imam Jamaat is going to read in Arabic. And the rest of the people, how would you say Subhanallah wa alhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wa Allahu Akbar? How would you go ahead and say Allahu Akbar, God is great? And then, I don't know what in Chinese would be, what in Indonesia would be, and so forth. The whole purpose of Hajj would be lost. Everybody would be different. There would be no unification. And I can go on and on and on. Why? The prayers have to be recited in Arabic. Salat bi Muhammad wa Muhammad. There was a recent email stating that Pepsi contains an enzyme from pig called pepsin. If true, are we still allowed to drink Pepsi? I actually didn't receive that email. So actually I had Pepsi today. I hope... this is the first time I'm hearing about it, to be honest. So I can't really comment on that. But if you like to do research on it, and then if you do find that pepsin is there, then I think the best thing to do would be to find out chemically, like whether it is really from pig, and if it is from pig, whether it does go through chemical change or not. And if you find out that it does go through chemical change, and it's not the same thing, you do not have to consult your marja, you're okay then. If chemical change happens, it's not the same thing. Fiqh says that it is okay, it is okay. But if you find out that no, pepsin actually stays in the same format as it is when it is taken out of the pig and so forth, then you can send an email. And when we were having dinner and one of the Maulana was talking, he said something about, you know, there is a very... Do you know who has the most muqallideen in the world? Which marja do you think has the most muqallideen in the world? The most muqallideen that the marja has is called Ayatullah Google. The most muqallideen that any marja has, marja meaning someone who you ruju, like you ask, you know, you go to, and you hear the answer and you accept, is the biggest. Everybody in the world, they don't know something, say Google, what is the answer, and whatever the answer is, that is that, that's it. Don't believe everything on the internet, okay? Do a bit of research yourself other than the internet. And for this question, I don't know because it's the first time. Salawat bi Muhammad wa Muhammad. At a public school, we can afford Islamic school. However, we also do our best to remain involved in Sunday school and, of course, model at home. What is your advice? We can afford Islamic school, okay. However, we also do our best to remain involved in Sunday school. Sunday school is once a week. Your public school is 5 days a week. Let's say... You take a cloth and you keep putting dirt on it for 5 days. The dirt that it's accumulating is for 5 days. And then can you really clean it in one day? It's not possible. If you can afford Islamic school, then you should go to an Islamic school and you should also participate in Sunday school. Because it's not necessary that if you're going to an Islamic school that you should not come to Sunday school. Anywhere you have the opportunity to learn the knowledge of Islam, you should make your very best effort to go and acquire it. I am completely against public schools. Public schools is where our kids are shaped and formed into these monsters that their parents become afraid of, and then they bring those monsters to us and say, make my son... not so scary. I'm sorry, I can't do plastic surgery on your son. He has become that scary because you gave them your son, you gave them that baby that had a clean slate. Now it has been written on it for so many years, I cannot erase it and neither can you. So if you have the ability and you have the choice, please go. Thanks for your time and knowledge. It's finished? You thoroughly define body and soul. Please tell us where spirit stands. Also, where does wisdom akal fits in this combination? MashaAllah. The soul is not inside of your body. That's the first thing. to give you an example. I hope it works. Which one is bigger? The one on my left, right? This is smaller. So that means is this water that's in here will be able to fit in here. True? So what I... If you were to consider now, what is bigger? The glass or water? The glass is still bigger, right? This thing has to be bigger than this thing to be able to hold it. Your body would have to have the capacity to hold the soul, meaning your soul would have to be weaker than your body. Your soul is not weaker than your body. Your soul is infinite times stronger than your body. Something which is so strong cannot be contained in a container which is so weak. Your body, I think, happens to be the weakest of out of all the animal kingdom. Very, very weak. There are pressure points on your body. If somebody was to just press with a pencil or an index finger, a person dies. That container does not have the capacity to hold the soul. Soul is Johar. Johar is from Alam-e Malakut. Alam-e Malakut is the metaphysical world that exists even now, and it existed even before, and it will always exist. The world of matter will finish, will perish. And the world of matter will be resurrected again. But the metaphysical world, you're looking at me like, what is metaphysics? Okay, you are, what's the smallest particle in this world? No, atom is not small anymore. Proton, electron, even they're smaller than that. About just science person, sorry? Nucleus, even smaller than that. The smallest particle in the world is called quark. Is that statement true? That the smallest particle in the world is called quark. That statement is wrong. Why?
We don't know.
No, the reason is because right now in the world, the only microscope which is powerful enough can only see the smallest particle called quark. You understand? That the microscope which man is able to devise so far is only as strong as to be able to see the particle called quark. But that doesn't mean that there are not smaller particles than quark. So in actuality, soul is made of those particles which are very, 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 very small. And there is no microscope so far that is able to see the soul. But does that mean that soul doesn't exist? It doesn't mean that the soul doesn't exist. Soul does exist. And that particular world is... The relationship between soul and the body. One example, and I promise you I won't go any more in this question because there's a lot to be said. Have you seen the puppet shows? Right? Have you seen puppet shows? The ones with the strings? There's a hand which is hidden. Right? There's a hand which is hidden. And there's strings which are very, very small. And then there is a puppet that's attached to those strings. When the hand moves, the puppet moves. With me? When a child looks at that, says that this puppet is alive, that something is inside of it. But in reality, the adult knows that there's nothing inside of this puppet that's moving it. It actually is the hand, and the reason why it's moving is because of the strings attached to the puppet. The soul is that hand which I cannot see, and you looking at this, that right now I'm moving and so forth, you consider that there's something inside of me. When in reality, there are strings attached which you cannot see, and you cannot see the hand which is moving it. At the time of death, Hazrat Malakul Maut, alayhi salatu wasalam, he comes and he cuts those strings. That's all he does. And what will happen is that this body that's moving and so forth, you know, if somebody was to shoot me or something like that, it would be nice to go, you know, with a good death. If somebody was to, let's say, a heart attack or whatever happens to be, some reason has to happen, right? For me to die. I die and you think now that what? The soul just went out. No, the soul didn't go out of the body. It was never in the body. Your next question would be, why is there so many... The robot is powered by a battery, which is powered by all of those things, but the robot is also, there's a sensory system that's there. And I think there are two types of robots. One is that there is a control, right? Like we go make the robot go forward or make the robot go back. And the other is that it is maybe programmed inside with sensors. But the example that I gave you is the first one, if you can understand. The robot has the capacity to have those sensors that does not require anything from outside, is able to move. But our body does not have the capacity to hold the soul. Yes?
With your permission.
Yes, of course.
There is a call of Imam Baqir. Can I say
it? Yes, of course you can. It would be great.
Please, we have to go back to Marja as Imam Baqir says there is a soul and a nafs in the insan, not inside it, but as Maulana said. At the time of sleep, the nafs goes off and the soul is around you. When Allah wants to cut the string, as Maulana said, He is calling the nafs to go off, the ruh goes off and stay with the nafs off. This is what Imam Baqir says, and Imam Tabatawai has it in the definition of the Surah Zamar ayah 41. Allah يتوفى الأنفس حين موتها ولم تمت في منامها فيمسك الأخرى إلى عجل مسمى. This is what Allah Ta'ala says in this regard. So when the person is going to wake up, then Allah sends the nafs back to the room. So this is the concept, basically, how the nafs and ruh are attached to the body. Not inside it, but attached to the body.
Yeah. And the reason why I gave you as an example is only to give you the example of the connection and so forth. Like the strings in itself, yeah, it's so many different ways that, but because we have kids as well, so I decided that way. But there's alim-i mithal as well, there's alim-i barzakh as well, there's different dimensions, and we have our wujud, or maybe for those people who are a bit older, our wujud has different darajat. And each darajat that we have is in a different dimension. And all of those dimensions, they are all in one so far. And when we go, there would be changes in those dimensions. So, but I appreciate, and thank you very much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. No. For salawat for the brother, please. There is a hadith of Masum that states that one who dies without the ma'rifat of his or her imam dies the death of a disbeliever. Can you explain ma'rifat and our duties to understand the ma'rifat of Imam Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa rahmat. Ma'rifat. Okay. There's two types of knowledge. One is called ilmi hasuli and one is called ilmi hazuri. Ilmi hasuli are the knowledge that you can acquire by your five senses and by your intellect. And that intellect which works. Ab aap itne mushkil sawal pooch rahe hain to phir jawab bhi jo hai mushkil sunne ke liye taiyar ho jaye. If you're asking me such difficult questions, you should be ready to hear difficult answers. The intellect which computes is called akal-e-nazari. And this intellect that computes, and with your imagination, which is called khayal and waham, which is the faculty for emotions, with hawas-e-khamsa, with the five senses, you're able to learn ilm-e-hasuli, meaning you can gain knowledge. For example, one person is not a doctor. That person can become a doctor. And how does this person become a doctor? He acquires this knowledge, goes through university and all of that, and then he becomes or she becomes a doctor. This is called ilmi hasuli. There is another ilm which is called ilmi hazuri. Ilmi hazuri is not acquired. Ilmi hazuri is something which is felt inside. give you the example for that pain. If I was to say pain, can you describe pain in words, in ilm-e hasuli, in the ilm that you have acquired? Can you describe pain to me? You might say it's like Tylenol extra strength pain. It's like Tylenol PM pain. It's like ibuprofen pain. It's like Tylenol 3 pain. But you cannot describe pain. But if I was to take something, or you were to take something and hit me with it, I can feel pain. And that knowledge of feeling pain is totally different than describing pain. Ma'rifat is from the second kind. It starts with ilm-e hasuli, but it finishes with ilm-e huzuri. And ilm-e huzuri we brought in this world. In fitrat Allah allati fatara an-nas 'alayha. That Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this nature. Fitrat Allah, it's meaning the inclinations that Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to incline towards. Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these inclinations and He has created humanity on that, and there is no change in the sunnah of, in the way of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have that. That is also part of our ilm-e huzuri. It's the second type of... So ma'rifat is actually from that type. Now how can you gain knowledge of Imam Jamal Sattu Salaam by ilm-e huzuri? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes, ilm-e huzuri. You pick up a book, you read, you listen to a lecture, you go through the books of tradition, you go through the books of history. Can you gain that knowledge or not? Of course you can. But this ilm-e huzuri only comes if you start building a connection with the 12th Imam. If you are actually feeling His existence in this world, that you can feel that He exists. That when you say assalamu alayka ya sahib al asr wa zaman, that you can feel that He says wa alaykum assalam ya Hassan. There are many people who go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say assalamu alaykum ya Aba Abdullah, and Imam Hussain replies, but they can't hear. Do they have the ma'rifat of Imam Hussain? They don't have the ma'rifat of Imam Hussain yet. They have ilm-e hasuli, they don't have ilm-e huzuri. There was a man, I give you this story, and inshallah, if I cannot answer all the questions, you can always email them to me, or if I get another opportunity to come and see you, I can do that. But the story is important, because this question is very important, and I want you to be able to understand this very properly. He had old parents, and he used to take his parents to for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain Sattu Salaam. And his parents were very, very old. And he used to take turns. 1 week it was the turn of the father, the other week was the turn of the mother, because they could not walk. They could not go on their own. So one day, which was the turn of the father, the mother said, you know, son, today I feel I want to go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain Sattu Salaam. I don't know why, but she started crying. And it was the turn of his dad. His dad said, okay, you take your mother. No, the mother says, no, you. And the son, it was not a taxi that he used to take them with. He used to lift them and take them to the haram of Imam Hussain Sattu Salaam. So what he did is, he said, no, you both will go. He took his father, he lifted him up and would take him a few steps. Then he would come back, take his mother and take her a few steps, and then take his father a few steps, and then take his mother a few steps, all the way from his house to the haram of Imam Hussain Sattu Salaam. When he went there and he said, assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, he heard Imam Hussain Sattu Salaam, wa alaykum assalam. And this was the ma'rifat of Imam Hussain Sattu Salaam that he was able to acquire because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him. So in reality, this ma'rifat would have to be in so many different ways. It is also a blessing, a spiritual sustenance if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides to someone, is able to have this connection with the 12th Imam. When you cry, your tears come, is because of the ma'rifat of Imam Sattu Salaam. It is not because ilm-e hasuli. And when these tears flow, there is a connection, ittasal, with you and the 12th Imam. And this is what you need to have. And this is what marifa is. And if you do not have that, you will die the death of the time before the advent of Islam. Why? Because before the advent of Islam, people did have ilmi hasuli. They did have ilmi hasuli. They did not have marifat. And even after the Prophet brought Islam, they took ilmi hasuli, but they did not have marifat of the Holy Prophet. If they had marifat, there is no way that the Prophet would have been there for 3 days without being buried. There's no way. And if you don't have that type of connection, you will be destroyed in this world. The only thing that can save you in this world is the Imam of the time. And he only saves those that has that sort of connection and ma'rifat with that Imam of the time. Allah, how long do we have? Oh, it was supposed to be 10:30. Sorry. Yes. Yes. It stays all the time until or unless the person creates sins and does things that are wrong that become hijab or curtains in front of him. Ilmi Hasuli goes away. Like Alzheimer, people are old, like when they get old, like this person, there's so many examples like that. They're like professors, you know, of physics and this and that, but they got old, they got Alzheimer, you ask them their name, they don't know. This ilmi hasuli goes, it's a guest. Ilmi hasuli is guest of yours. Ilmi hasuli will stay with you. And you will take this to the hereafter. The angels are not going to say, okay, what is the formula for E equals? They're not going to say that to you. They're going to say what? Who is your Lord? Who is your Allah? Who is your God? If you don't have marifat in this world, and you only had ilmi hasuli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to answer. You will not be able to say Allah. And when they ask you, who is your Prophet? And you did not take marifat here, through ilmi hasuli you did not have, you will not be able to say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why someone who dies like that, when the angels ask, who is your Allah? They don't know. Who is your Rasul? I don't know. Who is your Imam? I don't know. What is your book? I don't know. So it is as if he died at the time of Jahaliyat. Salawat bari Muhammad wa Muhammad. Inshallah, the rest of the questions we will take at another time. And there's really, I really appreciate everybody who wrote these questions. I do. It's not that I don't have the strength. I do have the strength, which is not of mine. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy if he gives and what he says, what he allows me to say. But also I have to see you as well, and it is getting a little bit late, and it is only right to take knowledge or give knowledge until the receivers are ready to take it. So it is 10:40, we will stop here. I will urge you to acquire as much as you can, to learn as much as you can. But I will finish with the saying that our brother was mentioning from Ayatollah Bahjat Rahmatullah Alayh. And Ayatollah Bahjat Rahmatullah Alayh said that if people can act on the knowledge they already know, all of their issues would be resolved. And as long as they can do their obligations and they stay away from the forbidden acts. So I ask you to act on the knowledge you already know. Inshallah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us successful in this world and also in the hereafter. And please recite Surah Fatiha and 3 times Surah Ikhlas for Shaykh Matari Ramzulalai and also for all the shuhada and ulama and your relatives and all the Muslims and mu'mineen who have gone from this world. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. اللهم اغفر لوالديه وللمؤمنين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا تقبل دعاءنا.